Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to a classic program from the archives of New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. All of our calls for this classic program have already been taken, but if you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Now here's Steve.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Milan Yurkovich. Hello, Milan.
Hello, Steve. How are you? And
hello, Steve.
It's good to hear you.
And Dr. Jill Hubbard.
Yes. Oh, Milan, sorry.
Is the author. No problem.
I jumped
Great.
The gun there.
How We Love. Jill is the author of The Secrets Women Keep, The Secrets Young Women Keep. I want to talk to you for a minute because we have talked about different holidays being difficult. Mm-hmm. For certain people. And I know that with this being July 1st, this is a tough time for people with a particular disorder, a particular problem, and we want to be sensitive to that.
Okay, now, I could think what those might be, but I bet you have a particular spin on this that might be novel.
Well, of course I do, and of course you could think of it, but of course we're talking about pyromaniacs.
Oh, pyromania.
This is a tough time of – yeah, because, you know, this is the time of year where the thing that a pyromaniac tries to avoid the most, it's like – walking down the street and people, if you're an alcoholic, offering you bottles of vodka with the fireworks and stuff. I just saw a firework display. It says, buy one, get five free.
Really?
Now, if that isn't a picture of the economic downturn today,
yeah.
People don't have money to buy fireworks, so they're giving you five if you'll buy one. And that, to me, is having burned up a couch in our living room when I was a small child. That is a pyromaniac's nightmare. Pyromania is actually you get relief from setting a fire. So I wasn't really a pyromaniac, but I did two things around the 4th of July. I burned up a couch one time. I also burned an entire hillside down at my grandfather's house. Mm. And when that happened, I was a little bit older, there was a part of me that was burning afterwards when my father got a hold of me,
yes.
Which I remind my mother often. You know, I think that would be considered child abuse now,
right.
Those kinds of
right. There's spanking. There's emotional
anyway,
scars from that, too.
We love the fact that you're with us today, and just to show you how much we love that, we're going to go right to our calls right off the bat, and we're going to start with, well, let's start with Lisa from Indianapolis, Indiana. She listens on WQME, our sister studio. Hi, Lisa. Welcome to New Life.
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
I'm hanging in there.
Okay. Well, what's going on?
I am married out of obedience. I have a number of problems.
Well, wait,
with my
hold
husband.
On. Hold on a second. You're married out of obedience?
Yes.
What does that mean?
It means I choose to stay married to my husband even though every part of my being wants to leave. I'm a Christian, and I'm trying to be obedient to God's word.
Is he a Christian?
He claims to be, but he's not. I don't believe.
Okay. So you guys are, I mean, if you're just there out of obedience, you're having a horrific time then.
I'm in hell. Yes, I'm in hell on earth.
Okay.
My question is, I have a problem with my husband that I cannot confide in to anyone, and I find very little help available. I have a Christian mentor who's a friend. I have a Christian therapist. They both tell me I should leave. I found out 4 years into my relationship with my husband, 2.5 years into the marriage, that he has a serious fetish. It's called cuckold, C-U-C-K-O-L-D. Mr. Arterburn may be familiar with.
Yeah,
But in a desperate attempt to save my marriage, I was a baby Christian. I went outside the marriage for a year and a half to satisfy this fantasy, this fetish of my husband. Quit 2 years ago because it has just been devastating to me.
Okay, hold on. We're going to take a break. We'll come back right after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, and you know, we're talking here with Lisa. And Lisa, I'm so sorry for a lot of things. I'm sorry that your husband somehow wanted to see you with other people. I'm sorry that for some reason you felt like you needed to submit to that. Is that, you said you were a new Christian. Is that what it was about? You thought, well, if this is what he wants, this is what I need to be doing?
No, I knew it was wrong at the time. When I really realized how wrong it was, I quit 2 years ago. And he just hasn't been happy, and he constantly hangs it over my head and encourages me and pushes me, and every other word out of his mouth is, will you do this, will you do that, and I won't. And I feel like I need to separate, and but he refuses to get help for this problem. He says he's too embarrassed, and I just, I want to be scriptural, but I also want to have some joy in my life, and I want to be respected and be a wife and not a thing.
All right, now here's the thing. You've got a Christian mentor, right?
Yes.
And you're sharing this with her?
Yes.
Okay, so you've got some support. You're able to talk about it to someone, right?
Yes.
Okay. Have you called our 800 number and asked about Every Man's Battle workshop for your husband?
He won't go. I've read the book. I've listened to the CD, and I feel like I'm trying to make, I'm saving this marriage all by myself. I'm in this marriage alone. And I guess one of my questions is some insight into why somebody would be this selfish. And the other is, at what point is this is this considered adultery? Even though he's been monogamous, he encourages me to go out. I won't do it anymore. And how disappointed is God going to be in me if I separate or divorce my husband for refusing to cure himself or heal himself of this?
Right. Okay. Well, these are tough things, and this is an unusual situation. But the thing that is not unusual about it is someone being married to someone who wants them to do things that they don't like or they're not comfortable with.
And had I known there never, ever would have been a marriage. I didn't know well into the marriage and the relationship.
And well, Lisa, how long did you say you'd been married? I'm sorry. I missed that.
It'll be 6 years this year.
So you've been married 6 years?
Almost, yes.
Okay. Okay.
You know, Lisa, you asked, why would a person do this? Why would my husband be this kind of a man? How could he be this sinful and this terrible to me? And that's a question that needs to be asked. You know, the Bible says that the heart of man is desperately sick. Who can know it? And we are bent and broken. And literally, if you read through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, you will see every sexual sin and perversion and unkindness and abuse of other people that you could possibly find. So what your husband is doing, while slightly unique, the perversional aspects of it are very common to us all. I think Scripture calls us not to be compliant, but Scripture calls us to truth, and truth is always involving exposure. The gospel and Jesus coming to the earth to die for our sins was all about exposing our sin, and he was a truth teller, and he shared, even though there was an embarrassment to us all and a shame factor, he shared, and he exposed, and then he provided solutions. And so I believe that we have to be whistleblowers. We have to be people who expose, because the goal isn't to save your marriage. The goal is healthiness, growth, and godliness. Now, I have one last question. You're focused about your husband's sinfulness, and I'm interested in how you could be victimized into doing what this sinful man would ask you to do. You see, there's something broken inside of you that would allow yourself to create this picture in your mind that somehow I'm being scriptural by violating sin and doing what I should not be doing. And that is as big a mystery in the middle of all of this, Lisa, as the other stuff that you mentioned.
I had had a couple of nervous breakdowns, a result of some other problems with him, and I was weak, and I was desperate to, I thought that if I did this for a while, it would be one of those things that he would get out of his system.
Okay,
and
so
he
Lisa
never treated me better when
Lisa,
I was doing this.
Lisa,
he treated me like a princess.
Lisa, so your need for approval, the desperation you felt, and the feelings of chaos and the nervous breakdowns, those feelings probably preceded your marriage to your husband. Somehow, your need for another to approve of you preceded your meeting your husband.
Mm-hmm. That you would go to such lengths to get that approval from him. Mm-hmm. You know, and so, Lisa, I'm wondering for you, what other kinds of situations much earlier in your life occurred where you were in that same position of being trapped, having to do something for another person in order to get their favor or their approval?
I believe that God has used my husband. I came to Christ because of my husband. I was devastated on every level of my life by my husband, and I only surrendered to God because of that destruction and death to the old self. And I feel like God used my husband as that tool, but now I'm married to the tool of that destruction, and that life is behind me. I don't do that. I don't want that. I'm not going to do that. All I care about is pleasing God and being obedient, and he won't let what I did a year and a half or 2 years ago let it be in the past. This is still something that trips his trigger, that turns him on, and it disgusts me. The few people that I've talked to about this, they want to turn it back on me.
Here's the thing. What we're trying to say is that we want you to pick up your life right now so that you don't ever get into a situation where you're being pressured or pushed. We want you to experience the new life.
Mm-hmm.
I feel very strong now. I'm just at a crossroads where I have to decide, am I going to stay married to a man who is bored with me because I won't go out of our marriage sexually? Or do I separate and say, work on your problem or I'm divorcing you?
Well, that's the point.
Well, but there's a third alternative.
Well, but the struggle you're facing is he still has you in his sway. You're still saying, what do I do? Do I leave him? Should I leave him? I'm trying to preserve the marriage. I'm single-handedly holding on here. And you're holding on to something of a person that wants to abuse you. And that's
right.
The point is we're saying you must escape the abuser. Now, that doesn't mean, and Steve's going to talk about a third alternative. I think I know what he's going to say, and I think you need to listen to what Steve's going to bring up right now. There's a third alternative.
Well,
what's that, Steve?
Well, it's that you, like you're hearing here, you get out from under the influence of an abusive person. Then you let the dust settle, and you see what can be done to change everything. Once you're away and he's receiving no benefits of you being close to him, then we see what is he willing to do. Whether he's willing to do anything or not, he needs to see you doing some things that you've never done before. Going to some support groups you've never attended, or seeing a therapist, a real-life clinical therapist who's a Christian, maybe going to the New Life Weekend, or demanding that he come with you. All these kinds of things can be done to see what would he do if he's finally requesting or finally demanded to do something. Now, here's what I believe about him. Just from a couple of things that you've said, I believe he's probably pretty disgusted with himself with this.
He is.
And that you actually do have some potential. Once you get the path set and say, this is what we're going to do about this, or it's over, I think you've got some potential there. But first, you need to have a place of strength. And under his influence, you don't have a place of strength. You have a place of weakness. If this call does nothing more, it is to say to you, you must regain your presence and your strength with him and demand that and make sure that you get out from under his negative influence so that you guys can chart a course maybe to save this, maybe not, but you're going to find out whether or not it's possible.
And Lisa, I don't think you have to decide right now about the marriage. I think you have to get some things in place to, you know, have that support network for you. Be strong as you are saying that you are in that, okay, you're going to go forward, you're going to do the next right thing, you're going to sin no more. And, you know, he's going to have to sit with that then. You know, he's going to have a response to that.
I guess I thought that with 2 years this having passed, that I've not done anything, that this would get out of his system and I would not have to kind of ultimate. If I saw him as the enemy, it would be very easy to leave. I see him as a victim of the enemy. And I just want to put out to people out there who are listening that in sexual sin gets this foothold, and it is never underestimate, you know, the power of a magazine, a dirty movie, because it just leads to so much more.
Well, here's the thing. You need to look at kind of a little bit of a lie that you fed into that a lot of people do. And that is that if I just wait long enough, you know, and pray, this is going to go away. And what went away was you. You gave up yourself waiting for this to change versus what we believe needs to take place, according to Scripture, hold back those staggering toward the slaughter, to intervene, to take action, to help those. And that's what we're going to try to put you on a track for. So hold on. Right. We want to talk to you off the air, see what we can do to help you get to a New Life Weekend, help you get to some support groups, and I'll ask everyone to pray in this situation. Oftentimes, the crisis that we see here becomes the opportunity for something that might have, in the past, appeared to be impossible. So 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you are at that place and you want to find out what's possible for you. Why don't we jump over here and go to George from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. WFIL is the station. Hi, George.
Yeah, how you doing, Steve?
We're doing all right. How about you?
Well, that's debatable at times, most of the time. I believe myself right now the loneliest fat man in America.
How much do you weigh?
I'm getting up to about 285 now. I'm 100 pounds overweight. I have high blood pressure and a thyroid problem. And not only that, I have GAD with bipolar issue.
Okay.
Generalized anxiety disorder?
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. And does that hold you in and limit you?
Oh, yeah. It definitely does that. Mm-hmm. With that, with the panic attacks, living in a major city like Philadelphia, which is like a big habit trail, if you know what they were back in the day, little mutts ran in this big city. The contact with people is really hard.
Okay, so you have agoraphobia also.
Yeah, that's part of it.
Okay.
And I'm having
so
problems.
How could we help you today?
Well, I would like to find some people like me, some support. I would like to lose the weight because what my psychiatrist has also identified lately is that I have an issue with a body dysmorphic disorder. And it's so self-conscious that, I mean, it appears that I am the object of people's concentration.
So you feel self-conscious?
Mm-hmm. Very self-conscious.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, we're going to give you some help right after this. I'm glad that you called. And as many of you know, a lot of folks with weight problems have become part of our small groups and started a small group. Sometimes we get to a place where no group is small enough because our shame is so great. And it's important that we don't give up ever. There is so much hope. One of my friends, when heard from the doctor how much she needed to lose weight, she says, "Wow, it wasn't cancer. It was something I could do." And she was grateful. We'll be back right after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Milan Jurkovic and Dr. Jill Hubbard, and your phone calls. And we love getting to do this. If you can help us do it, please call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We would love to be with you. We just can't thank you enough, all who support us. We're talking with George right now. He says he's the loneliest man in the world, and he's overweight, and it's a struggle. George, what's your question for us?
Well, I'm disabled. I'm on SSI and SSA because of the disorder that happened in 2002. At this point, I'm dependent on county facilities, county mental health, et cetera.
Okay.
So I'm more or less dependent on people. I used to be independent. That's no longer there.
Okay, so what's the question for us now?
My question is, how can I break free from this confinement I'm living in, this little space I live in, and break out and become a part of society again, a functional person in society?
All right. Have you tried anything so far?
Yeah, so I've been on like 26 medications since 1991. I went to the Christian New Life Treatment Center in Falls Church, Virginia, at Dominion Hospital years ago.
Okay, all right.
That was through you guys. I had insurance then. I had good insurance then. But now I have bad insurance.
Mm.
So, you know, really...
So you've been struggling with this lifelong. It's not just been...
With the general anxiety disorder, anger issues back then, yes. The weight has come on the past 5 years, which has made it worse.
Okay. And how housebound are you? I mean, do you get out?
Hey, put it this way. I take Klonopin, first of all, which is a pretty bad drug. I've been on it for a long time. I take it when I need it.
Okay.
I know how to use it. I don't abuse it.
So are you saying you take Klonopin in order to leave the house?
Yes. That's
okay.
One of the drugs.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the drugs. I take Neurontin also and Elavil.
Wow. Okay.
That's the only way I can get out. And I would do the minimal thing. Go to the store, grab some groceries, run back. Run there, do laundry, come back. So I'm at home all the time, basically.
Okay. Now, I hear you trying all these different medications. What about therapy? You were in a treatment program, but what about therapy?
I did have therapy for about 3 years. It worked well. I tried a little bit of therapy in this city, but their therapy with the county facilities that I have to go to, they more or less exploit people. They put all your business out there. They're not confidential. It's a situation where it's very disruptive. And it's not a good situation.
Okay, hey, so...
Let's talk about some of the things that, you know, are possible for him, Jill.
Sure.
Right,
maybe.
Because, George, you've tried a lot of things, and I hear that you're really discouraged. And so, you know, there are going to be a lot of obstacles, but the idea is to try to, you know, get around those obstacles, okay?
And do you know something, Jill?
Yes.
I've been hearing that since 1991.
Okay.
And for someone not to be in my shoes and felt what
mm-hmm.
I felt, and I'm sure you haven't, it's easier said.
Of course it is.
Than done.
Of course it is. And so...
And you hear that a lot from people. Well, just snap out of it. You know what? It's like you want to tell them, hey, listen...
You know what?
I like that.
Yeah, you're pretty angry, aren't
you? We don't
you,
say just
George.
snap out of it.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, he is.
Well, that's what I've been
angry,
hearing
aren't
here.
You?
That's basically what I've been hearing in my community.
Hmm.
You know what, George? You're going to have to do a jailbreak here.
I'd love to.
I know you would. And what you're looking for is a jailbreak, because you need something that's radical. You need something that's big. And, you know, Jesus talked about that. He said, be radical, you know, do something big to help get out of your situation. I think you're going to have to do probably a couple of things. But let me give you two ideas. One, if you went to a New Life weekend and made yourself go, you'd be doing a jailbreak. You did that, that would break you and cause you to get out of all these habitual things that you do that hold yourself in that jail. Another thing you can do is if we went to the treatment center for 30, 40 days, which we have as part of New Life, you do something like that. Again, it's a jailbreak. It pulls you out of your world. It changes your world. It is uncomfortable. It'll make you mad. It'll make you upset. But at the end of 30, 40 days, you could be a very different man. It will require something that radical for you to do to break all these things. And I don't think, and I'll quote you, you said, I'm the loneliest fat man in America. I don't agree with that. I think you're the loneliest anxious man in America. And the fat is a byproduct of being sedentary and sitting still and using food as comfort. The anxiety is eating you up, okay? And you're compensating by filling to comfort yourself. And that is precisely what so many of us do. You're not alone, dude, on this one. We are all that way. We seek other ways. So you're going to have to make a jailbreak. It's going to have to be something big. And those are just two ideas from me.
I would agree with
that. So what do you think? Okay, so you truly see that the big issue is the anxiety, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Now, it seems to me, in the anxiety, though, one of the ways you deal with this is you focus on the things that aren't possible. You focus on the people that aren't helpful versus working through that and finding a way to help yourself.
There's a glitch.
The glitch is what?
It's finances and proper medical insurance.
No, that's not true. Because there are things you can do with people who do love you that you can afford. We'll talk about a few of those right after this.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible Personal Size, the one-year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life Pen and Highlighter, and a New Life Zipper Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Artimer here. And, you know, I have been in that place where I was on tons of medication. I was living like an old man in my 20s. And I felt like there was nothing that I could do, and I felt like no one understood. And then I did something that I could do. I took a walk. It was the only thing that I could do. It was the only exercise I could handle. And from that walk, led to doing some things differently, starting to give up some things, replace some things. But in this situation, somehow, some way, the isolation must be dealt with. The anxiety must be dealt with so that there is a breakthrough and a break out of jail. And, you know, sometimes you have to do something pretty radical for that, like find one human being that will go to you to a Weight Watchers meeting, one human being that will go to a support group for people who are struggling with their weight. That radical thing, could you pick me up? Could you go with me? Could you take me? Would you be willing? That can change everything. Jill or Mylon, do you have anything else that you want to suggest
just,
here?
Just two quick things. Number one, you could have all the money in the world like Michael Jackson, and yet you could be an anxious, insomnia person
anorexic.
That is anorexic, who is just absolutely obsessed and fixated on some things.
Body
and
dysmorphic.
Out of control, body dysmorphic, and lots of things with all the money in the world. You see, money doesn't cure these things.
No, it doesn't get you help.
The second thing is the only way, and we've said this on the station before, the only way you can escape a fear is by walking away from it. Avoiding the fearful thing or avoiding is will only keep you there. You must walk into the very thing that you fear the most. So Steve's right. You have to break out just one step at a time out into the thing you're fearful about. Otherwise, you will remain captivated by it. And that's a part of George's journey. He has to decide, I'm done.
Well, right. And George is right. A lot of people don't understand.
You're right.
But that should not be an excuse, because there are – that doesn't mean nobody understands.
Yeah.
There are people. And I didn't hear anything about 12-step groups, OA, or any of that mentioned
recovery,
by him that are
right.
perfectly free.
Absolutely.
Okay. I know it. When you feel helpless, somebody tells you, okay, but here's the dilemma. It's up to you to help yourself in some way. And that's the case here. We're going to talk more.
And another thought, too, there are not quick fixes. You know, a lot of times we turn to medication because we just want that quick fix. That's just one piece of the puzzle. And we need to do a lot of different things that then move us along, not just keep jumping from thing to thing to thing that feels like it fails.
And, Jill, you were saying that sometimes the medications can end up defeating us.
Yeah. If you've been on medications like the benzodiazepines, eventually, long-term, they turn on you.
Mm-hmm.
Medications like Xanax and Klonopin, and they actually create the panic attacks that you're trying to avoid.
Yes.
So you have to have that reassessed as well.
So a detox.
Yes,
might be in order here. Hence the reason why I mentioned the facility. Steve, you might want to comment on that.
Well, we have a great place, and you know, there are ways to get there, ways to find hope. New Life Weekend, ways to get there, scholarships. You just have to call us 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask us. All right, let's move on to Mary from Minneapolis, Minnesota. She listens on the internet. We're glad she does. Hi, Mary. Welcome to New Life with Mylon and Jill.
Thank you very much for taking my call.
You're welcome. What's going on?
Well, I have a funny situation here. I have been asked by my pastor's wife to write a critique. She's in a job exploration group at a church, and she wants to know the faults that she might be unaware of that might be holding her back from getting employment. And she has sent out about 6 emails to ask different people to do this for her, and I'm kind of scared, because if I got to tell her faults, I know her quite well. Her faults are the ones that will crush her. And yet there's got to be a way to speak the truth in love. I'm kind of feeling stuck.
Interesting. I'm going to ask Jill's take on this woman to woman. But do you know her well, Mary? Are you close? Like, you'd be close to being a best friend? Or are you
probably in the church. My husband's also a minister and ministry staff, and we have vacationed with them. We've known them for 10 years. We've, you know, done an awful lot together. I see her as a person that has a lot of anxiety and fear and injuries from childhood and a very narrow comfort zone. She's not a lot of fun and negative. So, you know, I think that she's hid behind her pastor's wife role for years, and it's prevented. She's 57. I think it's prevented some normal growth that should have happened by now.
Well, I think that was your critique, and that sounded actually quite good, if you were going to ask me.
Well, what will happen if I tell her that?
You can't control how you tell her. Yeah, I think it is how you tell her. And the thing is, she's asking, and she has sought you out as one of the people she obviously trusts to be able to ask that. And I imagine that that's a huge step for her. But I wouldn't just send her an email back. You know, I would invite her to get together and, you know, maybe in your home or something, and dialogue with her about how she felt about sending you the email and you know, what her fears are about that, and, you know, is she prepared to hear some feedback, you know, or does that worry her? And then, you know, you start to put a little bit out there, and then you kind of ask her how that felt.
Okay.
You know?
Okay. Now, yeah.
Go ahead, Steve.
I think it's important that you start. I like this face-to-face thing. Mm-hmm. Where you say to her, hey, I got your email, and you know, we're here together, because I didn't want to just write this down. And also, I wanted to be sure that this was a great experience for you. So I'm starting mm-hmm. with the three strengths that I see that you have, or maybe there's one that you that I'm hoping whatever you do, you're going to capitalize on this amazing strength that you have. And if you can find two or three, that's great. Then, rather than say, now here are the negatives, you are so anxious and so immature, and you have mm-hmm. not, you know, you want to say, I would be sure that a job doesn't tap into any kind of anxiety that you might have. Or, you know, what you really want to be very tactful as you share the truth.
Well,
otherwise, what she's done is she's sent out emails to her future enemies list, who, you know, if everybody attacks her, it's not going to be a good situation. So try to make it as positive for her, and don't do anything with any kind of resentment or bitterness or anger. Truly see this as a time to speak truth into her life, but speak it in a way that you would want to hear it for your life too.
Well, and Mary, I think that, you know, you can also ask her what her awareness is of why she struggles. You know, she's asking for a reason. She needs some feedback, but what does she already know?
Okay. And you are confirming exactly what I kind of plan to do. I feel like I could get a degree here. Thank you.
Well, I'm sure you'll do a great job, but the idea is you're bringing it into relationship, right? And
yes.
you're walking beside her. You're not just answering her question.
There is a great a gift that all of us can learn to acquire in life, and it is the gift of knowing yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes time, but it takes reflection and community in order for that to happen in the positive environment that Jill and Steve are proposing. I'd like to say that what Jill said was really good to say, and what do you perceive of yourself? Mm-hmm. What is it that you know of yourself? What do you see? And maybe I'll add to that or share with you my thoughts after I hear what you see and what your
right.
awarenesses are. Because self-awareness is a growing thing, I think, for all of us mm-hmm. over a lifetime.
Yeah.
And she might say, well, I get really nervous or I get afraid. And you can say, oh, yeah, okay. You know, I can see how that would be true for you. And you can kind of validate it.
Well, my tact was going to be to ask her to pray that the Holy Spirit would pretty much tell her what maybe she thought it would, what her problems were, and then maybe I could just meet with her and
you Mary, could just back up the Holy Spirit. And then not get in trouble, you see?
Yeah, you're afraid too.
You're afraid. Go ahead, Jill.
Well, you're afraid of, you know, being in a relationship where maybe it's not all nice, you know, because really being intimate with another person is when you can talk kind of about your relationship face to face. That's very intimate. And so some of this is going to be you guys talking a little bit about your relationship because it's about how you see her.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also talking about not just the wonderful things. Oh, we're good friends and we're so wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
It's talking about some of the negative things, and that's much harder, but it's so much more growth producing.
But that's a healthy relationship.
It is a healthy relationship.
When you have both,
to be able
the positive
to tolerate
and the negative.
That.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And to tolerate is a key word.
Yes. So for you too, Mary, right. It's a growth step.
You don't want to start with, thanks for letting me do this before you became totally intolerable. Let's take a break. We'll come back and have more of New Life Live.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, and I want to talk to Sue from Ventura, California. Listens on one of our favorite stations, KDAR. Hi, Sue. Welcome to New Life.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call today.
Sure. Yeah.
How can we help? I'm calling because it's been about 6 months now. I've been struggling with three different big things that have been going on in my life. The first one is that my father passed away in January.
I'm sorry. I was just saying
we're
sad, and
we're
sorry for you.
Thank you so much. His death was a violent death. He was diagnosed with lung cancer, and then 2 weeks later committed suicide.
Oh my gosh.
Just prior to that, though, he revealed to me, and I just had a birthday and turned 45, that he was not my biological father, which was shocking, but at the same time was a kind of an aha moment, kind of put some things together for me. He did reveal was that my biological father, some things about him, he was a med student, I'm a healthcare provider. He also revealed that he was Jewish. People have been asking me my entire life if I was Jewish, and I'm not. I'm very Christian, brought up in a Christian home. I had to go to grief share to grieve for his death. I'm still grieving, and I am on a search to find who my biological father is. I know ultimately that our Father in Heaven is my father, I do find some comfort in that. At the same time, I find myself feeling very angry a good bit of the time.
Sure.
And I'm trying to figure out what it is that I can do to not feel so angry all the time.
I would recommend that you do nothing.
Okay.
In other words, you know, the Bible says, be angry, but don't sin. And if you've lived 45 years and there was a secret hidden from you, and then you had to find out with such dire and desperate circumstances, it is a severe loss to you. And loss always makes us do several things. It makes us a bargain with God. It makes us go into states of denial. It makes us angry, and it makes us also grieve and mourn. And when we block any one of those things, we don't complete the cycle of getting over loss and grief. We need to embrace all of those things. And it is important that you feel what you feel when you feel it and allow yourself to feel those things, and then to bring others into community with you, a spouse, your grown children, others to support you as you go through each one of those points.
Okay. I want to ask you how you feel about this. Are you feeling grateful for the father that you had versus the biological father you didn't have?
I do feel grateful. I feel grateful for the father that I had. I do, yes.
Okay, now, one other thing, and then I'll let Jill address this. When did your father become your father? Or in other words, when did your biological father give you up?
Well, I was conceived via sperm donation.
Okay.
So I don't know that he even realizes I exist.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's good, and so you're solving a mystery, but hopefully you're not trying to heal some big wound that your biological father gave you up, because he didn't know who you'd become, he didn't know your personality, you might have been a concept, who knows, but I with Mylan there, you know, feel what you're feeling, but get some help with somebody to help you walk through it. Because if you can be grateful for what God gave you while you're solving some mysteries about the other parts of your life, you'll be okay. Jill, a final word on this?
So, Sue, first of all, you're not going to be angry forever.
Well, that's good to know.
Okay, so if you feel like that, don't worry. It is a passing phase. But, yes, you do need to sit with it. And it sounds like with what your dad told you, I mean, your parents were your parents. They came together. They couldn't conceive without help.
Yes.
So it's not even an adoption situation. So are you just wanting kind of medical input?
I am. Yes, I am. I had, shortly after my father passed away, I had a mass in my breast, which, praise the Lord, was benign. I had it removed. And when I went to fill out with the surgeon, my medical history, for the first time in my life, I had to put unknown.
Okay.
For the father part, and it just felt like a huge hole.
Of course it would be. That's a huge hole.
Yes. Yeah. It is to have that.
There are all
unknown
sorts of emotions that can go with this, and And it's just important that you have somebody that can literally walk through this with you.
Okay.
And can help guide you so that you don't get hung up on any one particular point.
Okay.
But it's okay. Only been 6 months. I think you're right on track, so.
Yeah.
Good. That's good to know because I don't feel like I have any parameters to know how long I'm supposed to feel angry or, kind of what is normal because I don't know anybody else in this under all these circumstances.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Well, I think if you'll do the search, start to connect with some people, you're going to feel more normal about this very, very unique situation in life. And I'm glad that you called us, and I'm going to send you Healing as a Choice. I think that will help you walk through this, and I thank God that you had the Father that you did. Well, I hope you enjoyed that flashback program of New Life Live. I always enjoy hearing what in the world were we talking about back then. Before we go, I want to talk to you about a couple of things really important. One is what has come to be known as a river cruise, but I call it a transformcation because it's about content. It's about fellowship and connection. You could call it a grocation versus a staycation. And it's on this amazing ship. We have the whole ship, Amalusha. If you go to newlife.com, you can check on it and see this gorgeous ship. We have the whole thing. And there has to be a stateroom at the price you need. I mean, we're going to Cologne, Germany. Of course, that's where they invented perfume. And Rudesheim, where they learned to be rude. Ludwigshafen, and I think that's where wigs were invented. Anyway, maybe I don't know exactly what's going on in these places, but Larry Sonnenberg and Rhonda took this to see if this would work for us, and they said it is the most incredible thing we could be a part of. So if you need a break that prevents a break in your relationship, this could be it. It's our river cruise. It's our Rhine River cruise. And it's October the 6th through the 13th. I think you're going to love it. We take off in Amsterdam, and we debark, or whatever they call it, over there in Basel, Switzerland. And so please consider this. It could change everything. Also, I want to mention to you about your giving that we don't have a matching fund. I call it a miracle fund. I mean, this matching fund is funding miracles, and we all know what the technical term double dog means. You give a dollar and we double dog that, match it out of this miracle fund. And I got to tell you, ever since the beginning of New Life, 35 years ago, we have been in partnership with people, and we could not have done anything at any time without a partnership. And our partnership is with you. If you've never, ever considered being a partner, this would be a great time because a little bit goes a very, very long way. Some of you might think, well, you know, we've got gas prices and all this other stuff going on. I think that's when it's the best time to give, when it doesn't make so much sense. It requires a bit of faith to step forward and give. I think that's when the blessings come back to you, triple dog. So, I hope you'll do that. You call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you want to be part of not the matching fund, but the miracle matching fund. I'll see you next time here on New Life Live.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.